right, so please, let's give Mr. Norm Clark a big welcome and Dr. Dan Schwartz. Podcast, a regularly published podcast that occurs about every 6 months or so, give or take. We're really excited to be here, and really excited to be here with Norm especially. So I know we just gave him a round of applause, but since he's getting it on video, let's give him another round of applause. Point. You do too. Does he pay you royalties for that, or how does that work?
No, I don't get royalties for that. I wish I had something snappy to say about that.
Well, we know that you're full.
I had it first.
I know, I know. That's why that's why he owes you and not the other way around.
That's right.
I'm sure that you've got some amazing stories to tell, and we definitely want to get into that stuff, and I know that's what the audience wants to hear too, wants to hear as well. But real quick, just to frame this, and I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't know who you are, but, you know, as recently retired from your role at the Review Journal, but how do you describe your career? How do you describe what you've done?
How do I describe what I've done? Grew up in a real small town in Montana. Age 10, my father died. Months later, I lost my eye. I spent most of my teens unfocused and angry, and became a newspaper boy. And read the frickin' newspaper from cover to cover, and changed my life. Believe it, truly
yeah.
Did.
So does that mean that print is not dead? Or does print even matter? Newspapers can exist without the printed page.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Does that mean that print is not dead? People keep saying that in our new digital era.
I thought you said Prince is not dead.
We'd be breaking some news, I think.
Print is not dead, but let's say it's on life support. It's not in good shape.
So, over your career here, and obviously you didn't start your career here in Las Vegas. You have a long storied career in a bunch of different places, but I think the folks in this room probably know you best from the work that you've been doing here. I have a question right off the top about, right now, Las Vegas gaming especially, a lot of big personalities, especially if you go back, Jay Sarno, who Dave wrote a book about, but in our modern era, Steve Wynn, Sheldon Adelson, really big personalities. These guys eventually will retire and move on. I don't get the sense that the next group coming up are the same sort of big personalities. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I would agree with that. I don't, the first thing you would say would be Jim Murren at MGM Grand. Does that have anything to do with the parking issue?
That and the shortchanging of the booze and the cheapening of the soaps in the room and the making full-time employees become contractors and...
But how is that going to change? I mean, in terms of what you do in reporting on these guys, is that going to make Las Vegas boring?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm a longtime sports fan, so I always think, who's going to be the next, you know, colorful person? It sort of happens organically. It's not like something that somebody goes, okay, I'm going to step into the breach, be witty as hell, and be the next big thing. I don't know how you replace a Steve Wynn because he's one of the most erudite, powerful people. I mean, I know one thing. If I get a call from Steve Wynn, I'm either going to get a major ass-chewing or it's going to be the best story of the year. It's that. I don't see anybody else out there that is capable of performing that.
Can you give us an example of an ass-chewing and a major story of the year?
So let's go to the great detail.
I got a couple of years ago, four or five years ago, when he was getting a divorce, and it was in the tabloids in New York. I got a call from the publicist at the Wynn that said, "Now I just have to tell you that this isn't coming from me. Steve says that he would prefer that you stop writing about this divorce because it's fucking with the bottom line." And I said, "Please don't tell Steve this, but I don't think I'm the reason I'm fucking with the bottom line."
So, I agree with you. So how does that work? As having not gotten an ass chewing from Steve Wynn personally, at least not verbally, does someone call you first, or does your phone ring and it's like, "Norm, this is Steve, blah, blah, blah." How does that work?
Well, a couple of years ago, 5-6 years ago, he called me up and said, "Let's make a deal. I'll give you my cell phone if you call me before you write something that might fuck with my bottom line." And I said, "That's fine." And said, so about a year and a half ago, what's the new property that's going up? Malaysian property that's going up?
Resorts World.
Yeah, right. Resorts World, folks.
Resorts World. I was tipped by somebody that I put a lot of faith in that the face of that project stood at a waiting line, a red carpet, if you will, for the various dignitaries to show up. And somebody came up to him and said, and my source was standing there, and said that it's time to go in, Mr. So-and-so. And so he went in, and my source followed him in, a photographer, and heard somebody say, "Mr. Wynn and his wife have arrived. Would you like to go out and greet them?" And the response was, "No." And I wrote that. I tried to reach Wynn. We have a dispute over that. I'm sure I called the proper person, and so I knew about 2 days later when I get the call that said, "Mr. Wynn is on the line." And I've never met anybody who can connect so many hyphens together. And all of them were directed at my parentage. Whatever, but I said, "Steve, if I'm wrong, I'll write a retraction." One thing he said, "No, I don't want a retraction. I don't want it back in the news." So that's I had a serious. Let me tell you the story. This is a man with no patience whatsoever. And about 10 years ago, I called him about something. And I had the tape recorder going, and I said, asked him a question, and I'm trying to keep up with it because this guy is totally brilliant. He can reel off about 30 words faster than anybody I know. No, my tape recorder was not working, sorry. So I'm trying to keep up. He said, "Did you get that?" I said, "I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't get that." He said, "So I'm hoping he's going to repeat it in the same way that he just gave it to me." He doesn't. He edits his own conversation, gives it to me in a rewritten form. I'm furiously typing. I get three quarters of it. He goes, I hope you got that. I said, I'm not going to lie to you, Steve. I'm not going to make it up. I didn't get all of that. Could you just give me the last four or five words? He goes, okay, for the fourth fucking time. And he says it. And we finish. I don't have it because he's edited that version as well. And he said, I hope you got that because I'm not going to repeat it again. And I said, okay, fine. Thank you very much, Steve. And I hung up the phone. Well, we didn't talk for about a year. And how many of you know Matt Drudge or know who Matt Drudge is?
Sure, sure, definitely.
I have dinner, my wife and I had dinner with Matt Drudge one night, and I told him that story. And he said, Norm, you've got to make peace with Steve Wynn, no matter what. He is too important for you not to talk to. So when, I'm trying to think of the daytime talk show host that died about 8, 10 years ago. Really heavy set guy. Somebody help me.
Anybody know?
Drew Carey?
No. Same body shape. Same body shape.
Burke Griffin.
Yes.
No, okay.
Get that guy a beer on me.
All right.
I think. Okay. How do I get back? How do I get back into the wind sphere? And so I call him back up and said. I call him up and said. This I was not on the favorite list at this point. I was. I had to go through the secretary, and she wanted to know what I wanted to talk about. And I said I want to talk about the death of Merv Griffin. Very pleasant voice of Steve Wynn comes on the phone and talks for 45 minutes. It was one of the most amazing interviews that I ever got. I mean, he bounced around from Merv Griffin to Benny Binion to everything, and I mean, it was end of the little feud. Maybe not in his mind, but in my mind it was. And but another time he was really coarse with me. And one thing I'd been told when I first got here was don't take it personal when Steve Wynn calls you and goes ballistic, because he's probably going to call you in a couple days and say, not even mentioned that anything happened before. He's just going to say about it. And so sure enough, that happened. I mentioned something about the CIA, not the CIA, but the other CIA.
Shadow CIA.
The
NSA?
FBI?
No, the
Jackson
cooking school.
The culinary engineer.
Oh, in New York.
Really not the other CIA. Got it, okay.
Guys are catching on real fast. And I said that there's rumors that they're going to start a Western branch of the CIA in Las Vegas. And I get this phone call. It says Steve Wynn is on the phone. Hello, Steve. I'm really fascinated by that story. That would really be unbelievable. It was just like this. And people said that's basically how he is. He goes from extremely overheated to like if nothing ever happened. And in some cases, he goes from overheated to ballistic.
Is that common, especially with these billionaire folks, like to be super hot and cold like that? I mean, do you find that as a common thing with a lot of these personalities?
Well, I've only had a couple conversations with Sheldon Adelson, so I don't know that much. I don't know, I can't say that much about his personality. Jim Murin, I've had a lot of conversations with, and he is, he's always very accommodating and very articulate and answers the question and takes it beyond. And sometimes publicists have kind of been pulling him away, and he still is helpful. And I tell you what, I appreciate that a lot, because more and more, the one thing I've seen is that publicists see when the conversation is wading into an area where they don't, really don't want it, and so they're going, yes. And they asked me before, what are you going to ask about? What are you going to ask him about? And I'll say, about this and this. And I reserve the right to ask those questions, but to move, to spin off into the question based on what they've said. You're not a very good journalist if you just go in with a set few questions, or if you allow the publicist to tell you, you can't ask him this, or we, you know, we'd rather you don't ask him about this. So I've done that, but Jim Murin is one guy that's been a stand-up guy. I've always appreciated that.
Good to know. Parking notwithstanding. can you think of an instance where you got some kind of a tip and you said to yourself, oh boy, if this turns out to be a thing, this is going to be a big thing? Any story like that that comes to mind that really got your gears turning?
I got a call one night that said Tiger Woods just checked in and at the MGM Grand. And 30 minutes later, this person called me back and said, he just checked out. And then years later, a couple years later, when all this other stuff came out, it turned out that he arrived for some gambling and other stuff. That was the night his dad died. And he rushed off then to California to be with his dad. You would think, but the stories that came out is that he chose to be with one of his concubines instead of being at his father's bedside when he died. That to me was all you needed to know about Tiger at that time.
Wow. Doing what you do and writing the kinds of stories that you've written, how often did you come to sort of butt heads with the other folks at the paper? I mean, if you're writing details about folks that don't want them out there a lot of the time, was that an issue where you constantly had to make tweaks? And how does that process work?
Rarely did I ever run into that at the RJ. One time I put in something that was hard to get around, and that was that Bill Clinton was having a party at a Greenspun. Greenspuns are the competition with the RJ, or semi-competition. And it was hard for me to, it would have been bullshit to say Bill Clinton was in town at a private residence and such
right,
and such.
Right, right.
So I thought, you know, I'm gonna put that in. And the next day, somebody said that, and I don't think it came from the publisher, but somebody said, you know, I don't know if you're aware or not, but we're in competition with the Greensmans. I said, no, I'm totally in. But what am I going to say, that he showed up at this residence or something?
Right.
So, no, I put that in. But it was so rare. It really, truly was so rare that I ever got. Now, I had a great relationship with our attorney. And he let me know on occasion when he didn't. And speaking of Tiger Woods, I got the tip, some of you might recall, that on Wednesday, a day before Thanksgiving, whatever it was, 7 or 8 years ago, I got the tip that there was a big story about to explode with involving a major, and I was told who it was, involving Tiger Woods, and that had Las Vegas angles, and I was told what the angles were, and I ran it through it. I sent it to editor, publisher, and attorney. And I knew I would hear back from the attorney. And he said, here's what they want to do. We're going to let you run the story, but we're not going to let you name who it is. And I think there was one other stipulation to it. Or where you got it from. So I was fine with that. I ran something to the effect that look for a major story to break soon on a